Job chapter 6 and verse 1 to chapter 7 and verse 21. Job's reply to Eliphaz. Well, I'm sure you will agree the book of Job is not an easy book. And although I've called this discourse Job's reply to Eliphaz, at times I think he might even be addressing God. It's very difficult to know. But Job's reply to Eliphaz. Job has a complaint here, and he spreads it out in his words. He makes the point that his friends do not understand him. They just do not know what is going on. Chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. If my troubles and griefs were weighed on scales, if only you knew, if only you sat where I am sitting, if you felt like I feel. You just do not understand, and therefore, of course, you are unreliable. Yes, he says that. Chapter 6 and verse 15. He speaks like this, "But you, my friends, you deceive me like streams that go dry when no rain comes." You see, that's when we need the water. I've come looking for water and the streams are dry. You've appeared here, you come, you are speaking to me, and I really hope that you would say something to help me. But you prove to be dry riverbeds. You've got no understanding, you're unreliable, and therefore you're useless. Chapter 6, verse 21, you are like those streams to me. In fact, you see my fate and draw back in fear. You really have nothing to say, you don't know what to say. And you are false in your arguments. Chapter 6, verse 25. Honest words are convincing, but you're just talking through the back of your head. You're talking nonsense. You just don't understand. You just don't feel. You just don't comprehend. In fact, you are unfeeling. Verse 27 of chapter 6. You would even throw dice for orphan slaves and make yourselves rich off your closest friends. That's pretty strong stuff, but that's how he feels about it. You're gaining from me. You're taking comfort from me, and you should be offering comfort to me. You're glad you're not sitting where I am. It's unfeeling. And you're frightening me. In chapter 7, verse 14, he talks about dreams. Now, whether that's God giving him dreams, or whether it's the dreams of Eliphaz, because Eliphaz has spoken of these startling dreams. Job says, you're frightening me. You're terrifying me. Your arguments are useless. You don't feel. You don't understand. You've got nothing to say. You're drawing back. You are unreliable. You're letting me down. But I know, he says. I know. What does he know? He knows God's word. That is to say, he knows God is speaking to him, and he knows that he's keeping God's words. Chapter 6, verse 10. I know that God is holy. I have never opposed what he commands. I know this is God's will. I know God is sovereign. And he's speaking in such terms. He is the Holy One. Chapter 6, verse 10. This is God's hand that's done it. Chapter 6, verse 4. Almighty God has pierced me with arrows. His God has lined up his terrors against me. It's not luck and fate. Job still knows and believes in God, in God's sovereignty. Chapter 7, verse 3. He speaks of God's sovereignty. And not in the version I'm using here, but in another version, it speaks about the allotment of God. God allotting these days to him. So Job knows that God is sovereign. He is the Holy One. His God's hand is upon him. And it's God's commands, and he is submitting to it. God is the Holy One. But Job certainly feels his pain. Chapter 6, verse 2. If my troubles and griefs were weighed. He feels powerless. Chapter 6, verse 11. What strength have I got to keep on living? Why go on living when I have no hope? He's hopeless. He feels powerless. And he's rejected by men. In the version, another version I use, chapter 6, verse 26, It speaks about God, about these people correcting him. Why do you correct my words? You don't understand. You're useless. And I feel useless. Chapter 7, verse 1. Human life is like forced army service, like a life of hard-pressed manual labor, like a slave longing for cool shade, like a worker waiting for his pay. Month after month, I have nothing to live for. Night after night brings me grief. In the night, the hours drag. I long for the dawn, but then the dawn comes, and what do I get? And so on. It's all over. He is called a liar, even. Chapter 7 and verse 16 and other places, they treat him like this. I would rather be strangled than live in this miserable body. Chapter 6, verse 15. I give up. I am tired of living. Leave me alone. My life makes me no sense to him now anymore. You see, chapter 6, verse 26, you're really calling me a liar. That's the point there. You reject my words. You correct my words. You don't believe what I'm saying. You call me a liar. It's all over, he says. Chapter 7, verse 21. Can't you ever forgive my sin? Can't you pardon the wrong I do? Soon I will be in my grave, and I'll be gone when you look for me. So Job has come to a real despairing, desperate place. He's wrong, of course, in much of this. He's misunderstanding it. As I say, we know the background to it. We know the secret of it. But Job didn't. This is how he feels. And it's all laid out in Scripture. See, Scripture is honest. It's showing us how this man feels. And he's praying. He's praying. Won't God give me what I ask? Chapter 6, verse 8. Why won't he answer my prayer? He's looking to God, even to take him from this life. I know that God is holy. I have never opposed what he commands. What strength have I got to keep on living? Job is in this spirit. I can't be quiet, he says, chapter 7, verse 11. I am angry. I am bitter. And I have to speak. I have to cry out. See, God is using him, or maybe the friends are, chapter 7, verse 20, as a target to practice, to shoot at. But this man is a man of integrity. This man, a man who looks for pardon, and he's praying for it. What does he need above all? Chapter 6, verse 2, he needs understanding. Oh, he says, if only my troubles and griefs were weighed on scales. This is how he opens, and I quoted it several times. It comes up in all these divisions. He wants understanding. He wants sympathy. He wants instruction. Oh, that you would instruct me. Would you teach me? Chapter 6, verse 24. All right, teach me. Tell me my faults. I'll be quiet and listen to you. Honest words are convincing. But you are talking through the back of your heads. Nonsense. I don't want to be amused. I don't want to be diverted. I want to be taught and instructed. My friends, what can we make of this? Brother and sister in Christ, what can we make of such a passage as this? I say again, isn't it wonderful? The Word of God shows us how Job felt. The Bible shows us this, the reality of all the characters there. We see Christ in the garden suffering. We hear him praying. We learn from these things. The Bible is real and honest. Maybe I address you, brother and sister, and you're in pain, anxiety, depression, fear, doubt, whatever it might be. Maybe you're echoing some of these prayers. You feel useless. You wish people knew and understood. You must cry out and all these things. Are you still trusting God? Are you holding on to his sovereignty? Are you believing his word? Are you submitting to him? Of course, Job was way, way back, even before the old covenant. Look at us in the new covenant. We have a great high priest who has passed his way for us and gone through all these things for us. He suffered all our temptations and trials, yet without sin. Let us come to him, brother and sister. I urge you to come and find grace and mercy to help in your time of need. You have a sympathetic high priest who not only washes away your sins and presents you faultless before God, but sympathizes with you when men don't understand, when men reject, when they talk nonsense, when they add salt to the wound and all the rest. Come and spread your case, like Hezekiah spreading the letter, spread it before God in Christ, and he will have mercy upon you. But it's a word to me and to you, brother and sister, when we are going to comfort others, may we be mutual in our comforts. May we comfort them with the comfort we have received and receive comfort from them. May we not add trouble to our friends. Even when we don't know what to say, may we confess this. May we not talk nonsense. May we lead them back to God, encourage them. Let us learn from Job's comforters how they failed him. You can see what Job needed, and we need it too, don't we? Understanding, sympathy, mutual care, and love. And let us all come to our Lord Jesus Christ and look to him again. Look to him on the cross. You can see the physical sufferings, can't you? The nails, the spear, the crown of thorns, the hanging agony there. Yes, it's terrible, but do you know what you can't see is the inward struggle, the satanic fight, the spiritual battle, the torment of his soul and mind and spirit. And Job is like this. They can see the boils, but they can't see his soul. But God can. Christ can. And he feels for us, and he shares with us, brother and sister. Let us draw comfort from knowing that we have a great, sympathetic high priest, the greatest of all comforters. Indeed, the Holy Spirit is called the Paraclete, the Comforter. May we draw strength and encouragement from such a passage as this. And I say again, if any of my brothers and sisters are passing this way, remember that underneath are the everlasting arms, and all things do work together for good to them that love God. We know this. We don't always feel it. We can't always see it. But we know it, for it is true.